Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle EJ, and we are here live on Waves of Glory. Our topic this morning is continuing in the vein of the virtuous woman, and our specific title is The Fashion of the Virtuous Woman. We have talked about her as a marketplace mogul. We have talked about her as the habits of the virtuous woman. And while studying this particular woman, I find myself fascinated by her. The more I study her, the more I want to be her. And then the more I desire to be her, the more I become like her. The more she influences my life, the more she influences my choices, my character, my decisions. So I'm very excited about how God has given us this topic for this season. I admonish you to take the time out to go back to the Word of God, to Proverbs chapter 31, and to take your time and really get to know her, because she is off the chain. I discovered that the word habit, last week while I was studying for the habits of the virtuous woman, I discovered that the word habit meant clothing, and that's so very appropriate, as the virtuous woman is dressed for success, and she is dressed for success from the inside out. And today we're going to open up the line so that if you have a desire to speak on this particular topic, I really enjoy your participation. I see that we do have one caller already who's tapped in, and so we're going to allow that person to introduce themselves, and then we're going to get right into talking about the fashion of the virtuous woman. I'm talking to our caller whose last four digits on your file are 0088, and who's calling at this time?
Good morning. My name is Elder Brenda Smith.
Oh, Elder Smith, God bless you. I'm so glad it's you. Wonderful.
God bless you.
It's amazing that you are on with us today, because I, in my own estimation, I see you as a virtuous woman. You know, we have just recently met, but when I look at you, I can see the characteristics of the virtuous woman. So I believe that you will have a lot to give us today when we talk about the fashion of the virtuous woman. Yes, we're going to be talking about what she's clothed in on the outside, but more importantly, what she is clothed with from the inside. And the thing that got me was that God, people say to us, God doesn't care what you wear. And that's absolutely true. He doesn't care what you wear. You can come as you are. But once we come to him, he begins an inside work in us that reflects on the outside. Is that true?
Amen. Absolutely.
And I like to go back to the garden. Go ahead.
It will work from the inside out.
I like to go back to the Garden of Eden, with most everything, every point that God gives me can be found happening in the Garden of Eden, because they came as they were. Once they had fallen, once they had disobeyed, they decided to clothe themselves, and they came to God as they were. However, God saw that what they were doing was inadequate, and so he had to reclothe them. And so as the virtuous woman, I would like to say to our sisters in God today that we have to allow God to manifest to us and then manifest through us. As we are reading in Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to be at verses 22 through the end of the chapter. It talks about she is clothed in fine linen and purple, and we really get with that. I know in today's society we really like to dress it up. We really like the fine linen and the purple, and that's a good thing. The thing about this is in her season, in her time, in her era, that had a significant impact to see this woman dressed in fine linen and purple. And the reason is because purple was very, very hard to come by, because it had to be, they had to boil snails in order to come up with this purple color. It was not like we can just go to the store today and buy a purple outfit if that's what we want. But she had to be deliberate in managing her money so she could afford to wear purple is really what I'm getting at. She not only did she wear purple, but she could afford to wear purple. While we have been discussing the studying the virtuous woman, we find that this woman is an independent, strong woman. Most of the characteristics and the things that are being shown up in the scripture shows that she's not sitting around waiting for Prince Charming. This is the thing that I just like to drive home to our women today, that we're not to sit around waiting for somebody to come and rescue us, because we are strong. We are strong in the Lord, and the woman that knows her God is supposed to do exploits so that we can move forward in the things of God. But yes, we can move forward in life itself. And this is the picture that the virtuous woman really paints for me, is that she's not just a woman just sitting by the wayside waiting to be scooped up and taken home and pampered. Instead of her handmaidens pampering her, the scripture says she gives meat to them. She takes care of them. Of course, I know they have their duties, but she makes it her business to make sure that these people are taken care of. She's not like the typical diva of today, and that's another, I don't even want to go that way, because I just so hate that word when it comes to the women of God calling themselves divas, but that's what they choose to do, and I'm trying to get used to it. Okay, but the scripture says she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. And when I began to research that, that denotes courage, that she is clothed in courage. And while I am dealing with women in ministry and women in the marketplace, I find a lot of the women lack courage. And I can go, plummeting through what I want to say today, but is there anything you'd like to say about the virtuous woman this morning?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say once again, a virtuous woman, the virtue works from the inside out. Whatever God has placed on you in the inside, it will come out on the outside no matter where you are. You doesn't necessarily have to just be in church. You could be on your job, out during your community. If it's in you, you're going to wear it every day. And it has to be in your heart, as far as you're talking about the covering and the clothes. But yeah, there's many women would say, the Bible say, come as you are. My clothes can't keep me out of heaven. And all that may be true, but if you are virtuous, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to carry yourself, how to dress. No one has to tell me that's too long or that's too short or that's not appropriate. Because if you have it on the inside, you can look in the mirror at yourself and you'll know whether that is appropriate or not. If your virtues, not only would you have respect for yourself, but you'll have respect for your surroundings.
Yes, absolutely. This next verse, verse 25. Excuse me. This verse 25 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. Dignity. And I think about that word. Sometimes society today has tried to make dignity a dirty word and say she's so dignified, as if that's a bad thing. There was a time and a season when a woman was classified as dignified, that that was the highest status rate that she could achieve, was to be named dignified. Now today, our society, because it's so topsy-turvy and turned upside down, when we hear that a woman is dignified, we want to first think that she's stiff or that she's not approachable. But dignified, just like you said, is really denotes that she respects herself. Many women will give respect to other people, but they won't respect themselves. And the virtuous woman understands that before she can truly give respect to others, she must respect herself. She must respect herself. She must carry herself with dignity. And when she is clothed in purple, that is a denotation of royalty. That purple cloth was so expensive that normally it was only found in the royal families. So that's why, that's how it became a royal color, not because only, not because it denoted a kingship, but because they were the only ones really who could afford it. But this woman was so this woman was so industrious that she amassed her fortune to the point where she could be considered royalty when she walked, because she clothed herself. Somebody said herself. This is what I want to get across to my granddaughters and my goddaughters and my spiritual daughters, is that you have the power within you to clothe yourself with strength and with dignity, and you don't have to get it from somewhere else. And again, to women in ministry, too many times we as women, or some that I've dealt with, are looking to those around us to validate who we are. But God wants us to be validated from within. When you know who you are in him, when you know that he's called you, when you know that he has anointed you, when you know that he has appointed you, there is something that happens on the inside of you, so that you don't go clamoring after man's opinions or his validation. It's nice, of course, when people acknowledge you and validate you, but it's not necessary for you to function. And so as we're talking about the series that we're doing here on The Virtuous Woman, is really geared toward women in ministry and women in the marketplace, and to get the two to come together. It may come together in one person, or it may be two people working together, but to understand that the marketplace has a very real impact in ministry. And it is time for us, those of us who God has deemed as virtuous women, women who do good works. That is all that ministry is doing good works. Jesus said, "The works that I do, you shall do, and greater works." And so the virtuous woman has really stirred me to check myself and to see what good works am I doing before I start looking to see what good works other folks are doing. What good works am I truly doing, and am I actually advancing the kingdom? And that takes coming out from between the four walls of the building that we call the church, because we know that's not the church. That's a building where the church congregates. Excuse me.
Amen.
When I looked up her clothing, again, Psalm 45:12-13 says, "The daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The daughter is all glorious within, and her clothing is interwoven with gold." My point in bringing up the clothing of the virtuous woman today is to look at self-image, is to bring our women of God to take a good look at their self-image, and to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and to carry ourselves as such. For the virtuous woman has clothed herself in fine linen and purple. She's clothed herself as royalty. She doesn't call herself a diva. She doesn't call herself anything. The scripture said her children rise up and call her, and her husband calls her. We have our women today who are calling themselves divas, God's divas. I just don't want to go there. I keep going there, but I don't want to go there.
Amen. Oh, my goodness.
She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And to those of us who are operating in that vein, whenever we open our mouths, a virtuous woman, when she opens her mouth, wisdom comes out. Foolishness doesn't come out of her mouth. She doesn't come out with, "If I was you, I would have done so and so." She only speaks what the king would have her speak. As we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, we can only say what God says. Our opinions don't matter. And she's not giving opinions. She's giving faithful instruction. She is diligent. As a virtuous woman, she's diligent. She's not slack. She's not. I went through the scriptures, and I was looking at the contrast of things that happen in my world today and some of the people that I associate with or some people I've dealt with in the past, some of the women that I've had the responsibility to deal with. And they are nothing like the virtuous women, not all of them. I'm just saying there's a great number who don't even understand virtuousness. They don't understand the word virtue. They don't connect with it. And so it is my desire in this season to let the women know you have to honor yourself before others will honor you. And it's okay. That's the point I really want to make. It's okay for you to honor yourself.
Amen.
I know in the body of Christ we talk about being humble, but I think we misunderstand when the scripture talks to us about being humble. We humble ourselves before God, but in that humility, he exalts us. He says it himself. If you humble yourself, I will exalt you. If you exalt yourself, I will abase you. So the first step towards honor is to honor ourselves in humility before God. And then that which is on the inside causes increase on the outside.
Amen.
Last week we talked about how she works all night if she has to. She gets up early in the morning. She's just a very selfless person, the virtuous woman. And I'm having to deal with some family members in the afternoons, and they are children that come in from school, and the things that I do with them are being influenced by this particular passage of scripture as I deal with them and with their personalities, because I have a certain way to deal with children. You know, the way Mama showed me how to deal with children, that's really how I would really deal with them. But the Spirit of the Lord will say to me, okay, is that your virtue coming out, or is that your flesh coming out?
All right.
From the hospitality that we extend to others, to the way that we carry ourselves when we speak with others in the marketplace or speak with others even in the ministry, you will not find the virtuous woman sitting in church saying or not being able to look across the room at the woman across the room. You won't find that attitude within her. She has a confidence.
Oh, mercy. Yes.
She is clothed with confidence. And when we think about how we walk into the room with confidence, not with arrogance, not with pride, but with confidence in knowing who we are and what it is that we are purposed to do. I believe that when we know our purpose, we will have a greater confidence.
Amen.
The virtuous woman is a woman who fears the Lord and seeks his opinion over the opinion of others. And then one version of scripture, let her work, let her have the fruit of her hands, let her enjoy the fruit of her labor. I know a lot of women who work hard for their families, they work hard for their ministries, or they work hard for other people's ministries, but they don't take time to bless themselves, even with the fruit of their own hands. And so I want to admonish daughters of the King today to take time for yourself. Take time for yourself. And it's just every Tuesday morning, here we go with the lawnmower. Everything is quiet until we go on the radio. Praise the Lord. But we're going to keep moving on in spite of the noise.
Amen.
The virtuous
Amen.
Woman is
That's
so confident that the scripture says she is not worried about the snow for her household. We know that the weather plays a great part in what we wear and how we wear it. And even if you have children, it plays a great part in, you know, buying school clothes or buying winter clothes. And I've seen so many women stress out because they don't know where they're going to get a coat for their kids. They have a few children and they don't know how they're going to clothe them for the winter. But the virtuous woman has already made plans. She is a planner.
Amen.
So that when the snow comes, she has already made provision. This is just one of the things that just I see that we can, as a body of believers, impact our communities by teaching our young ladies how to be. Unfortunately, we have left off that. I know in the areas where I've been, I want everybody, but we've left off the next generation, teaching them the things that matter, teaching them the things that are meant for life and godliness. We teach them a verse of scripture, or we teach them how to come, and we teach them how to pay their tithe and all of that. But when it comes to the day-to-day things that make a virtuous woman, the virtuous woman is really an ordinary girl. But she has extraordinary attributes, and she moves in and out of the community in an extraordinary manner. She moves in purpose. She moves towards destiny on a daily basis. And she doesn't leave anybody out. She doesn't leave family out. You know, sometimes women in ministry, or even men in ministry, will get so involved in quote-unquote ministry that the family suffers. But the virtuous woman knows how to do it all, so that she doesn't put her family last and her ministry first. But she rises up and makes sure that the family comes first and then ministry. And that's a very valid point that we need to, I think that the body of Christ needs to teach, that we don't just allow family to suffer so that we can go forth and minister. I don't believe that that's the call of God for our lives. But I'll let you go ahead and say something about the virtuous woman, about family, about society today, about our women of today, of whatever it is that you would like to say concerning the virtuous woman and where we are as a society and how we can really impact and help the women of today.
Amen. I've really enjoyed your sayings. You said so many profound things about the virtuous woman that is so true. I like the part when you were saying some women or people get so caught up into ministry that the family is suffering. You know, sometimes we'll just forget about the family, and you know, but I got to go to church. I got to do this. I got to do that. Mm-hmm. But God wants us to include our family. And I kind of feel that's why he said, you know, don't be an unequally yoked with your husband or your wife. Because, number one, we all need to have the same mind frame. If I'm going to church, I expect for you to go to church. And if there's children in the home, for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We should, you know, take our children by the hand and teach them. And when we go to church, we should carry them. There may be some times when, you know, they do not want to attend church, or our spouse may not want to attend church. But there was one thing that my stepmom taught me. She said, if you're married, you know you're going to be in church all day long. She said, there's a way that you still can serve home and church if your husband or your wife does not want to attend with you. She said, you can prepare your meal and just, you know, put it in the refrigerator, have it set aside. So if you're not there, or if you're going to be out for a long period of time, the food is there. You can have their clothes ironed. You know, it's just a way that you can just do both. No one has to suffer on this journey. And the way that you carry yourself as a virtuous woman, you know, someone will look at you, and they will want to, you know, pair themselves after you of what they see, as well as your husband or your children. If you're carrying yourself virtuously, walking in respect, walking in love, they're going to respect you as well. They're going to respect the things that you have in your heart that you want to do for the Lord and for your community and for your children. It's not just a word when we say the virtuous woman. We have to wear that day in and day out. Like I said, it begins in the heart. And I also like the point that you made about when the storm comes, the virtuous woman, she'll plan ahead.
Yes.
If she know a storm is coming, she's going to have everything already prepared for for her family or people that in her circle.
Yes.
And that's what I always, that's what I always try to do. My stepmom and my father used to always tell me, live for today. I'm always thinking about tomorrow or what in case of this was to happen, in case that would happen. I will always try to have something held back just in case. Because you never know. In ministry, like you said, but no, I don't. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but, you know, we are women of God. Call me a woman of God. I don't want to be classified as a diva, and it's not all about in your outer appearance, your dress. It's also in your spirit, like you were saying. It's in their speech when they open their mouth; they're speaking wisdom, not foolishness. It's like, for instance, when I have gone through many trials in my life, but when I go through those trials, I didn't just pick up the phone to call someone that was going to help me stay in that state. I would call someone that had something, some wisdom to say, no, come on, shake it off. You're a woman of God. You need to just get someone that would encourage you, someone that will help you stay on that path.
Hello?
Can you? Hello?
Hello, did I lose you?
Hello?
I'm here.
Hello? Hello?
I'm here. We can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you.
My earpiece went out. But I just thank God for this subject of the virtuous woman. And I'm always, when I'm on Facebook, I'm just looking to see what you have posted, because that's a very, I just love it. Most women, when they get up and speak on the virtuous woman, it seems like most of the time they just focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more than one aspect of the virtuous woman. And I think you pretty much covered it all. And I just love to hear your saying, your inputs, what you have to say about the virtuous woman. Since you have been talking about that, I just want to let you know I have really enjoyed your sayings, and you have me digging and digging at that verse. I'm
beautifully
digging and searching and reading. And as we speak, I have my laptop open, studying it even before I tuned in on, you know, to your call. I mean, it's just good to study.
Yes, it's good to study. And in our last few minutes here, I just wanted to say how it just occurred to me last week about this virtuous woman and what a beautiful prize she is, and that the psalm was written by a man who was recounting what his mother said to him. But she was giving him information on how to choose a virtuous woman, how to recognize her. And I really haven't seen or heard any conferences or workshops or Bible studies for men on the virtuous woman. And in the body of Christ, our divorce rate is equal to the divorce rate for those who are not saved. And it is because I believe that we haven't taught our sons how to choose a wife. We have, they don't have a clue. If they say I'm a godly woman or I'm God diva, then they want to run after that, because it's on the, that's tagged, God is tagged on the side with diva. Or just because the woman is sitting in the church, they think that that must be okay because she's quote unquote saved. But is she a virtuous woman? And is this woman going to bring you honor as you sit at the gate? Because we don't have about 30 seconds here, but her husband was honored at the gate because of who she was. She wasn't honored at the gate because of who he was. But when he sat down at the gate, he was honored because he had found the virtuous woman. And the whole community could look at this woman and say, that's a woman right there. That's a virtuous woman.
Amen.
And I believe this is going to be my last
lesson on it, but I might have to go over and do the husband of the virtuous woman for next week because we neglect him
Amen.
Sometimes. But
Amen.
He is who he is because of who she is. And nobody talks
Amen.
About that. They sit him down at the gate with the elders, but, you know, not everybody could go to the gate and sit down with the elders.
Amen. Amen.
So when he sat down, he got honor because of who his wife was and how she carried herself. And so I'll pray about that and see if the Lord would have me do the husband of the virtuous woman. Because I want my brothers, I really want my brothers and my sons to understand how to choose a wife. But that might be somebody else's call. I might get a little bit too excited about it.
That's all right. Amen. It's much needed, I tell you. It is much needed.
Amen. Well, I want to thank Elder Brenda Smith for being on the broadcast with us today. We have truly appreciated you, Elder Smith, and the input that you've given. And I want to say again, I see you as the virtuous woman. I really look at you and the way you carry yourself, the way you speak when you open your mouth. You do open your mouth with instruction and with wisdom. You are an amazing woman, and I just want to say thank you and thank God for knowing you today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. And I see you the same, Apostle Ella, a beautiful woman of God. Beautiful.
Amen. And so tune in next week to Waves of Glory, where we're going to carry on with the marketplace connection between ministry and the marketplace. And we'll be seeing you. I just want you to remember that this week we will be teaching on how to write your first book. That's going to be Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you want to be in on the class and receive the link, just give me an email. Send me an email at successinlifeti@gmail.com, and we'll get you the link to the free webinar of teleseminar on how to write your first book, and you'll be ready to go once we get off that call. You'll have everything you need to get started and complete your very first book, because God wants to make your mess your message and get it before the masses. Remember, this is Apostle EJ with Waves of Glory, and you are not here to be average. You are here to be awesome. God bless you.
God bless you.